Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
97.1 FM Talk. On-demand audio.
Well, this was an interesting moment yesterday after the current president, who's about to be shown the door, is announcing the ceasefire deal, asked this question.
Thank you.
Folks, credit for this, Mr. President, you or Trump?
Is that a joke? Oh, thank you.
No, I think the answer is you're a joke. Tony Blinken, credit's not important.
The important thing is not who gets the credit. The important thing is getting the result. And that's exactly what we've gotten. And as I've said, the deal that was agreed is based on the proposal that President Biden put out months ago in May.
John Kirby.
The comments by President-elect Trump, particularly his support for this deal and making it public that he supported this deal, did send a strong signal to everybody in the region, including Hamas.
Ooh, sounds like maybe a little credit, and then there's Matt Miller.
When it comes to the involvement of President-elect Trump's team, it has been absolutely critical in getting this deal over the line.
So they don't want to give him credit, but he certainly earns some credit here. Josh Hammer back with us, senior editor-at-large at Newsweek. He hosts the Josh Hammer Show every Saturday here at 1 p.m. on 97.1 FM Talk. Josh, welcome back. How are you? We could say Happy New Year as well.
Mark, a belated Happy New Year to you, my good friend. Always a pleasure to join you on these magnificent airwaves here.
So I appreciate it. Where are we? You know, one of the things, and I'm not an expert on this stuff, which is why we tap into folks like you. But what I have said a couple of times is in my decades covering news in the Middle East in particular, when there's a ceasefire, it usually doesn't last very long. And this one may not have even lasted 24 hours because there were some snags. What do we know right now? And what are your thoughts about this deal?
Well, Mark, when I woke up this morning, it looked like the deal was on the thinnest ice imaginable. It looked like Prime Minister Netanyahu was saying that he was holding off on submitting it to his cabinet because Hamas was trying to change the terms of the deal on the way out the door. They were trying to maybe swap out some hostages for others. My best guess is that Hamas probably realized that they don't have enough hostages who are actually alive relative to what they had told negotiators. That's at least my guess as to what was going on. But as of a few hours ago, which is the latest information I've seen, it looks like the deal is back on. Now, having said that, there has not exactly been a formal announcement or anything. There hasn't been like a Netanyahu press conference or anything of the sort to announce that it is happening. I think it's a bad deal, Mark. I'm not going to put lipstick on a pig and pretend like it's anything other than a bad deal. I definitely think it's a bad deal. When you look at the actual numbers here, Israel is set to get 33 hostages back, dead or alive. We have no idea how many of those 33 are even going to be alive versus coming home in body bags. And then in exchange for that, they're going to have to give up. The number that I saw last night was 3,000, nearly 3,000 Palestinian Arab terrorists, jihadists who are in Israeli prisons. 1,000 of those 3,000, so a third of them, have been arrested since October 7th. Roughly 250 of them are currently serving life sentences in Israeli prisons for being the most hardened of jihadists that you could possibly imagine. And it's worth recalling, Mark. You know, I know you've been in this business for a while. Back in 2011, there was the Gilad Shalit prisoner swap. This was a lone Israeli soldier who was patrolling the area near Gaza. He was taken in by Hamas in their earlier years of governing the Gaza Strip. And the pressure on Netanyahu back then, 14 years ago, was overwhelming to bring home Gilad Shalit. And Israel gave up over 1,000 terrorists to get their one soldier back. It's worth remembering that one of those terrorists that they gave up was a younger jihadist by the name of Yahya Sinwar, who 12 years later would become the mastermind of October 7th. So, Mark, I can't help but wonder, how many Sinwars is Israel about to give up yet again?
So what can you do about that at this point? I mean, Biden is very proud of the deal. Trump and their team seem to be pleased that it's happening as well. I know that there were some snags, but can you improve upon it, I guess, in the time being or for the time being or moving forward here in the next couple of weeks?
The short answer is probably not. Yeah. It looks like this thing is going to go through. Now, the million-dollar question, Mark, is what does this actually mean as far as the end of the conflict in Gaza? Is this it? Because if this is actually it, if, God forbid, this is actually the end of hostilities, if the IDF is really just going to pick up there, if that's the case, then Hamas is weakened, but Hamas remains in power. And that means that Israel has lost the war, because they announced very clearly at the beginning of the war that the aim of this war, well, there are two aims. One is retrieval of the hostages, but the other war aim, in my opinion, the more important war aim, was to defeat Hamas as a military and political institution in Gaza. So if Hamas remains in power, then the war is over and Israel has lost. Now, the real question is this going to be a ceasefire just for 5-6 weeks, which is roughly the time duration that the media has been reporting?
Yeah.
And if after that, can Netanyahu summon the political capital and, frankly, the goodwill of the incoming Trump administration to actually send troops back into Gaza to finish a job? That is a TBD situation that is very much to be determined. I don't know what the answer is going to be there. I think what's actually happening here, Mark, if I can kind of psychoanalyze for a second, I think what's happening is Donald Trump wants his Ronald Reagan 1980 moment. So Jimmy Carter had the Tehran hostage crisis in the final 400 plus days of his presidency. The Americans at the embassy in Tehran, Ronald Reagan comes into power day one of his presidency and the hostages are all freed. I think that Donald Trump is probably going for a similar photo op, a similar hostage release, and understandable for sure. It's a brilliant moment. It's a chance for him to claim a huge victory. I guess I just can't help but ask, at what cost is that victory?
Well, this was a different perspective, and it's something that I had certainly thought about in the past, but I had not been reminded of this aspect until today. So I'm listening to Fox this morning, and there's a guy by the name of Dan Senior, and I don't really know. Dan's got a podcast. I'm not sure about him, but he mentioned this about just the young Israeli, you know, men and women who have been called into service because you have a draft situation. You're compelled into military service.
Israel has a universal conscription. Most, not all, but most Israelis serve. These Israelis that have been asked to serve, those that are serving in their military years, 18, 19, 20, or those who are reservists, people in their mid-20s and mid-30s that have been plucked out of their daily lives as teachers and construction workers and tech entrepreneurs, and they have children and spouses at home, and they've been sent off to fight for a couple hundred days.
You know, Josh, I will say, I knew that. I've known all that, but I had not been reminded of that in a while, and that has to be something that is wearing on families all across that region.
No doubt about that. There is conscription in Israel. Most men will end up serving 2 to 3 years at least in the military. For women, it will be about 18 months to 2 years or so, and Israel's a small country. We're talking here of a country of 9 million people at the most. Not all of them serve, but you know when Israel's losing soldiers, and in recent days it's true. There were some terrible recent days where there's one day where 4 soldiers were killed in northern Gaza. There's another day where 3, 4, or 5 were killed. At this point, the total death toll from the Israeli side, just from a soldier perspective, is, if it's not north of 400, then it's right around the 400 mark, which might not sound like a ton, but again, it's a very small country, and that's actually the most soldiers that they've ever lost in a war since the Yom Kippur War a half century ago, 1973. So it's absolutely taking a toll. It's been going on for well over a year now. But again, when you have something happen like October 7th, I mean, you kind of have to go back and think about what happened on October 7th there. This was a pogrom the likes of which Adolf Hitler could only dream of. I think some of what actually happened on October 7th, Mark, and I don't say this lightly. I mean, I say this as someone who was speaking to you while on my desk. I have at all times a rock from the crematorium at Auschwitz that a rabbi gave to me years ago. So I don't say this lightly. But I think some of these sick, sadistic murders, the butchering of babies, all of that, this is truly the stuff that the Nazis in the forests of Poland really could have only dreamed of. So when that happens, and then when you announce that Israel cannot continue to exist or to live with Hamas at its side, then you really just have to finish the job. And look, Israel does have a conscription military. It's obviously taking a toll, but it's a very nationalistic culture over there. And I think the people who live there and who fly the flag proudly, they understand what they're signing up for at the end of the day as well.
So in order for this to work, at least, Josh, if it works in the long term, you have to have a new governing body. It can't be Hamas in Gaza, right? So what is the future of Gaza? That's really not anything that's discussed in the framework of this deal.
It's not, and I don't pretend to have the exact answer. I'm not sure that anyone has the exact answer. I'll tell you what would be an ideal situation or an ideal pragmatic situation. I have an ideal situation, which is not going to happen, but I think the ideal pragmatic situation is you get some of the more moderate Arab states, such as the UAE, the United Arab Emirates, Bahrain, maybe the Saudis, who kind of go in on some sort of consortium to try to rebuild Gaza. Now, it's worth remembering, Mark, that when Israel withdrew from Gaza back in 2005, people were describing Gaza as a would-be Singapore on the Mediterranean. That was how it was described in the media at the time, because it's beautiful real estate. It's gorgeous beachfront Mediterranean property there. There is tremendous, tremendous potential there. So that would be a terrific possibility if there is any chance whatsoever it could happen. I think the slightly more, even more realistic than that possibility is that you basically work, it ends up being almost like a Puerto Rico Guam-like situation where Israel maintains military control of the barriers, including the important Philadelphia corridor, which is the Gaza border with Egypt in the south. But moderate Palestinian Arab factions have a very, very large degree of autonomy on a city-by-city or council-by-council basis. And that's going to involve a lot of vetting. You're going to have to make sure that there is some sort of de-Hamasification process for the city leaders and the council members and whatnot. They're easier said than done. But something along those lines is probably the most likely scenario.
So complicated. Josh Hammer is here, Newsweek senior editor-at-large. Are you going to the inauguration on Monday?
Mark, I'm not, but for a very good reason, my friend, which is that I believe since the last time you and I spoke, I became a father, actually. We had our first child on December 13th. Esther Miriam Hammer is just over 1 month old, so I'm kind of limiting my travel at the moment to assist my wife with the little one.
I had somehow missed that. I knew that there was a baby on the way as a big girl dad myself with a little girl about to turn 10. Good for you. Congratulations. You are going to love
you.
It. How much fun is that? Well, that's great. And we got excitement in Monday. Because you're not going to be there, let's just talk about the transition here. Trump, I've asked this to several people, Josh, and, you know, our friend Will Scharf, your friend, I know Will pretty well, too, is going to the administration. There does seem to be a different tone from not only Republicans, but Democrats and people inside the swamp. Now, I don't know what that's going to mean for the long term, but boy, they seem to be really getting down to work. You've had success with these confirmation hearings this week. We got another Florida person. You're down there in Florida. Tell me about the person, Ashley Moore, that DeSantis has put up as the new senator from Florida.
So, I mean, this administration, Mark, is stacked with Floridians. It's pretty wild, actually. I mean, you have Marco Rubio coming in as Secretary of State.
Yeah.
You have Michael Waltz, who's coming in as the NSA, as the National Security Advisor. Pam Bondi is going to be the Attorney General of the United States. It's really just wild stuff. So yeah, I mean, this was a huge debate here in Florida going on for a while now, is that who's going to replace Marco Rubio in the Senate. So the favorite all along ends up being the pick. It's Ashley Moody, the Attorney General of Florida. She's a good pick. She's a solid Attorney General. She is typically one of the leaders when it comes to the Red State Attorney General coalition that have tag teamed over the past few years to go up against the Biden administration. I mean, is she kind of a... Yeah, is she Ken Paxton in Texas in terms of like the public facing, you know, fire breathing aggression? Maybe not, but she's a very, very solid legal mind, which, you know, as a lawyer myself, I very much appreciate. I actually saw that she had a post on X. By the way, Mark, it feels very odd to say a post on X, not a tweet, but
I know.
But I saw a post on X from her earlier today talking about how Clarence Thomas and Samuel Alito are the gold standards, and she wants to get on the Senate Judiciary Committee to make sure that we have great justices, great judges. I love all this talk, obviously, there. So I think it's another solid pick by Ron DeSantis there, but she's probably going to get a primary challenge in 2026 when that seat is up, at least by Corey Mills, who is one of the young Florida congressmen in the delegation. He's already announced that he wants to run for it. So she's not going to have an easy path to reelection to a full term. But for now, I think it's a very solid pick.
Well, Trump really hates women, though. Pam Bondi, Ashley here, you know, he really does hate women. More and more proof of that. I'm excited. I'm excited about the new administration. I'm excited about some work getting done. I'm excited about DOGE, right? Yeah. A lot of things to be interested in, but they've got a ton of work. On the confirmation hearings front, do you sense that there's any danger for Tulsi Gabbard?
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
No, I'm pausing a little bit because I guess if there's anyone for whom there could ever be a possibility, Tulsi Gabbard, RFK Jr., and Cash Patel are the three names that come to mind there. And I think Tulsi and RFK probably even more so than Cash. But no, I feel fairly confident at this point that all of Donald Trump's picks are probably going to get confirmed.
Yeah, it looks that way. It looks great right now. Well, thank you, Josh. We'll hear you on Saturday here on 97.1 FM Talk, the Josh Hammer Show. We really appreciate it. We'll see what happens with the ceasefire.
Can't wait, Mark. Thank you.
All right. Take care. Let me just play a little bit. This was DeSantis earlier, you know, introducing Ashley Moody.
She has fought against overreaching federal agencies like the ATF, the EPA, and the FDA to protect the rights of law-abiding Americans and to prevent bureaucratic entities from encroaching on our God-given freedoms. And then when it comes to our nation's foremost adversary, China, Ashley has been integral in our state's effort to defend Florida against Chinese influence. She defended our laws preventing China from purchasing land in the state of Florida.
You know, Pam Bondi is former Florida Attorney General. She has not been Attorney General since 2019. So this, Ashley, is the current Attorney General.
What has angered me the most as Attorney General, as I've had to fight the Biden administration over the last 4 years, when we have seen policy, after rule, after financial decisions, spending out of these agencies, as the agencies have gotten bigger, as they have taken more power, if they have tried to tell the states what to do more and more and more, all that does is take the will of the people, the want of the people through their elected representatives in Congress and turns this into a country we don't even recognize anymore.
Well, that's kind of what's happened at this point. You know, she did talk about, a lot of us are very excited about DOGE and what Elon and Vivek are going to try to achieve. She talked about spending.
I pledge to you as a United States Senator supporting the RAINS Act, supporting any effort to rein back in our out-of-control federal agencies, make sure politics is pushed out of it, make sure we bring down spending. I am all for that, and I've got the backs of the American people, Doge and President Trump on that.
All right, there you go. Ashley Moody. She is going to be the new senator from Florida replacing Marco Rubio. I'm the, you know, we're going to say goodbye. Sue, I feel a little sad because I'm not going to be here on Friday and Monday to really express my, you know, deep appreciation to the Biden administration for providing all of the material for the past 4 years.
I understand.
I mean, I almost like, I want to send flowers to KJP, right? Just to thank her for all the material. She's made my job very easy. But when you look back at this Biden administration, what do you think about?
Mainly Kennedy.
Corruption.
DEI.
Too woke.
Open borders. Lawfare that they did to President Trump and all the Americans that they tried to intimidate.
He's old.
During the presidency, he seemed not there.
A lot of what his legacy is the withdrawal from Afghanistan. In spite of the fact that he was following up the previous administration's plans, but they made mistakes and people died.
So before I play the soundbite, Sue said Kennedy, and I love that answer because Senator Kennedy from Louisiana really has been one of our favorites. And you know, I'm going to miss him. I need to look into this. Ethan might have to check because we do keep, you know, one of the challenges. We had a new show open today, and just speaking candidly, a lot of the soundbites that open the show, they're going to be dated as of Monday because they're talking about the Biden administration, like when Senator Kennedy says, the Biden administration sucks. I'm going to miss that so much. But he's a wordsmith, and I'm guessing he's going to provide us with some more material moving forward. But, you know, that... What is the legacy of this administration? I thought a lot of that summed it up pretty well.
It really did.
I'll see if I can come up with some of those Kennedy bites as we say farewell. Maybe we can work on some of that even for audio cut of the day a little later this afternoon. By the way, Senator Schmidt's going to join us in the 5 o'clock hour. Kilmeade in the 5 o'clock hour. An update on the CNN defamation trial coming up at 5:07 as well.
Get more at 971talk.com.